Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The text for the address this morning is the Gospel reading that I just read, especially the first part, finishing in verse 13 on the front of your bulletin. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as you have loved your Son and he has loved us, by your Holy Spirit, pour this love into our hearts once again this day, so that we may love one another. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you may remember the terrible floods through southeast Queensland in 2011. They happened just before I moved to Queensland. And so it was all over the news when we first arrived. During those floods, there was an incredible story from Toowoomba, which was very sad but very moving. There was a lady named Donna Rice, and she had two young sons, Jordan and Blake, and they got stuck in the floodwaters. It happened incredibly quickly there in Toowoomba, and they were clinging to a tree in the midst of these rising floodwaters. A man came past and he saw that they didn't have time to wait for the emergency rescue people, and so he got some rope and took it upon himself to go through and try and pull them to safety. The man went to grab the older brother first. I think he was about 10 or 12. His name was Jordan. But as the man went to Jordan, Jordan pleaded with him, "No, no, save my brother first." And so the man did. He took Blake, the younger brother, to safety. But tragically, before the man could get back, Jordan and his mother were swept away by the floodwaters and were drowned. A sacrifice of love from one brother to another. We come across stories like these from time to time, don't we? And there is just something about them that stirs us deep in the soul. Why is that? What's going on? What is so powerful about self-sacrificial love? It's got something to do with what Jesus says today. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So let's explore what Jesus teaches us today about this self-sacrificial love. He teaches us that we receive it first as a gift, that in it we find great joy, and that we are called to live it out among one another as he commands. There's the gift, the joy, and the call. First and foremost is the gift of sacrificial love we receive. We cannot overstate how important it is that this comes first. Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide, live in my love. Love one another as I have loved you." We are called as Christian people to live self-sacrificial lives of love for each other, but that's not our starting point. Our starting point is the sacrificial love we receive from God in Christ Jesus as a gift that we abide in, that we make our home in. We love because He first loved us. You can't pass on what you have not first received, and this holds true for this love of God. You won't find this in your heart as you naturally are. You are too selfish, too curved in on yourself to live like this from your own capacity and resources. You need to first receive it from God as a gift. You can think of a simple analogy like watering your garden. Jesus is saying that trying to love each other like this from your own resources is like trying to water your garden with a hose that is not connected to anything. But God Himself is the water supply. On our own, we're more like tiny little rusty watering cans with holes everywhere. But God is like an infinitely deep well of love which never runs dry. Because the Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Spirit, and the Spirit loves the Father, and around it goes. And to extend the imagery of our well, as the Father sends the Son, Jesus is saying it's as if that well of love overflows. God so loved the world that He sent His only Son. So that the completion and the perfection and the fullness of this love is in the laying down of Jesus' life for you, His friends. His self-sacrifice on the cross. It's that love we receive as a gift. Perhaps there's a bit of a parallel here in Anzac Day that we've just so recently commemorated. This is one place in our society where we still hear a lot about sacrifice, isn't it? And it's worth reflecting on why Anzac Day is so important to Australians. It's not just that we hear stories of sacrifice. We can hear generic stories of sacrifice in all sorts of places. But on Anzac Day, we gather together as a community to acknowledge and commemorate the sacrifices of individuals and even whole generations in the past, which have an immense ongoing benefit for us in the present and into the future. If you like, a part of the abiding power of Anzac Day is that as a society, as a nation, we continue to receive as a gift and appropriate for ourselves the sacrificial love of our forebears in this country. Well, how much more as Christian people do we need to continue to receive as a gift and appropriate for ourselves the ultimate self-sacrificial love of Christ? This is what we do Sunday by Sunday as we receive Holy Communion. We come to receive the benefits of this sacrificial love for us as a gift. So there's the gift. Then there's the joy. This is a nice little surprise, for me at least, in this text. Jesus says, "I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Now, why do I say that's a surprise? Well, simply because I don't think we would normally associate words like sacrifice with joy. In our minds, usually to make sacrifices would be something that we would do begrudgingly. We do it if we have to, but Jesus, quite incredibly, says that in the giving of His life is His greatest joy. Which is also connected to keeping His Father's commandments, notice. So joy and sacrifice and keeping commandments, they all go together for Jesus. Jesus is the one who, remember, for the joy set before Him, endured the cross, despising its shame. If you go back to my picture of the deep well, it's as if Jesus is saying that as you draw on that deep well of God's love for you in Christ, there's a secret ingredient in there. It's like fluoride in the water. It's joy. And Jesus says it's first and foremost His joy. Imagine that. That as we abide in this sacrificial love, we get to share in the joy of Jesus Himself. Joy which is not worldly happiness. Not simply an emotion that goes up and down with circumstances, but the joy of Jesus, which can run through our life like a bubbling brook no matter the circumstances. The joy that is there no matter what, because we know as Jesus' friends, He has shown us that great love in the laying down of His life. This is the joy which then spills over into our self-sacrificial love for one another. There's the gift, there's the joy, and then finally there's the call to our lives of self-sacrificial love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So who's the one another? And what does this actually look like practically for us? You know, there's lots of places in the New Testament that we're called to love in various ways. We're called to love God. We're called to love our neighbour. We're even called to love our enemy. Husbands and wives are called to love each other. And there, by the way, the sacrificial shape of love is spelled out very strongly as well, especially from husbands to wives, you may remember. But the context especially in view here is the Christian church. Jesus is speaking to his 12 disciples on the night before he died, his embryonic church, his first little Christian congregation. And so for us, what is Jesus calling us to specifically in this teaching? Most practically, he's calling us to love the people in this church right now. Most concretely, sacrificial love for your fellow members of this congregation. Doesn't that make it quite shockingly concrete and close? It does for me at least. That we're not talking here about imagining a hypothetical person or situation in life. We're talking about self-sacrificial love for the person in the pew in front of you, to the side of you, behind you. There's no escaping that. So then what does this actually look like? Jesus' self-sacrifice is the model, the pattern, the touchstone, love as I have loved you. But it seems to me that Jesus isn't saying in the first place we are to literally die for each other. That may be called for in some extraordinary situation, but that's not going to be common and normal. Instead, it seems to me he's calling us to a love among each other which is characterized by sacrifice in all sorts of other ways, which is about giving up things that are dear to us for the sake of the good of others, paying a personal price so that others can benefit. We may never be called to lay down our actual life in the way that Jesus did, but we are to give up all sorts of other things. Our time, our comfort, our money, our desires, having our own way all the time. And so again, what may this look like for you in this very congregation? Well, here's one very simple example that comes to mind for me as I think about this. Most of you know that here in the city we can have car parking problems sometimes around the church. But sometimes when I'm waiting outside early on Sunday morning, I see something funny happen. I see someone drive by, a church member, and then they disappear around the corner. I think, what's going on? They changed their mind, decided to go home. But no, next thing I see them walking around the corner. And you think, what's going on there? There's parks close by, they're free, why not use them? But I've got a pretty good idea what these people are thinking. They're thinking to themselves, I know there's people in this congregation who for one reason or another are going to find it difficult to walk from their car to the church. Now sure, I've got other challenges in my life, but one thing I can do, I can walk. So I'll park up around the corner. Such a small thing. But there's this person who has sacrificed his or her comfort and convenience of being close for someone else, their brother or sister in Christ. Now let's not go over the top here. I'm hoping that next week there won't be a complete empty spaces out the front of the church. I hesitate to use this example for that very reason, but it's such a small thing. I think this is where it begins. It's such a small thing, but from these little sacrifices, love grows. And as this self-sacrificial love of Christ flows through us into all our relationships in the body of Christ, that is a powerful thing. It's what drew some people to the early Christian church as they looked and they said, see how they love each other. Self-sacrificial love. The gift, the joy, and the call. No one has greater love than this to lay down one's life for one's friends. Dear friends in Christ, let us never neglect that great love of God given to us in Christ Jesus, especially in the laying down of His life for you, His friends. There is the wellspring of love in the desert of this world. And let us not only receive this love, but enjoy it, rejoice in it, share in the joy of Jesus Himself, and let Him make our joy complete. And let us love one another with that same self-sacrificial love, even right here in this congregation, as He has loved us. God grant it to us for Jesus' sake. Amen.